Hello, everybody. Another episode of Strength Academy. Today we're going to be going over a couple of things, one of them being Veterans Day, since today is November 11th. And we're also going to talk about Worlds, a little bit about body dysmorphia, and we're going to end with some experimental breathing discussion. All right, y'all, let's get after it.
It's episode 15!
All right, guys, welcome back. Sorry about the absence last week. Grayson again here with Mundo.
What's up, y'all?
All right, man. Well, first off, I guess happy Veterans Day.
Well, thank you, and happy Veterans Day to you as well.
So this is an interesting one because this is the official 100 years since the end of World War I, which is kind of made me thinking about just how grueling that conflict was. And I've been kind of, I've listened to it a little bit earlier this year, and I wanted to kind of take a moment that since we are kind of at that block, if you guys have the time to go check out Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, he has a series called Blueprint for Armageddon. It's a 6-episode series covering World War I from very beginning to very end. It's really, really well done. I think it gives it the level of suffering in those conflicts compared to the arenas Muno and I were in, it pales in comparison, and it's almost enough to say that it's not even the same thing.
I don't think it's the same thing. No, I mean, there was points in the war where they had to stop and call like a temporary truce to kill wolves because they were getting killed more by wolves than they were other human beings, and stuff like that. I think that might have been World War II, but like those types of situations where it's just brutal.
Yeah, the trench warfare and the use of poison gas and the just absolute, and what Carlin kind of talks about is that the new technology of the time was just so different than anything anyone had ever seen before. And if you are more looking for something to read than to listen to, I would check out All Quiet on the Western Front. So if you want to do something, you know, and really remember and try to put yourself where, you know, some of these guys are, because Veterans Day is today because it is the anniversary of World War I. That is a celebration of the end of hostilities there. So if you want to kind of do some throwback and kind of go try to put yourself in those positions, I know that those sort of books, All Quiet on the Western Front, and those podcasts definitely, you know, make you appreciate what those guys had to go through. So I think that's a good kind of remembrance. And I think that tying it back to the historical roots and just seeing, even though it's still terrible, how much better it is than living in a trench.
Yeah. And if you just like history in general, it'll be a good podcast. George Carlin does a fantastic job of making it interesting. Dan Carlin. No, he does a fantastic job of making it very interesting and a flow that's very along the lines of telling a story.
Yeah, his storytelling is second to none. So on this Veterans Day, if you're celebrating by having the day off tomorrow on Monday, you know, take some time to, you know, go check out that, do a little bit of research, kind of think about, you know, those things that led to World War I and those weird little seemingly nothing political events that can spiral. And it's timely, and go ahead and get that checked out.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, with that out of the way, let's talk about some of the stuff that happened this past week with Worlds. It's a big event in our weightlifting community, and some of our best and brightest athletes showed up to that competition and really did, some of them really shined, and others just started to establish their places in the stack of how things are going to look in the future for Olympic bids, and just what we can see more of as far as what our country is going to be able to put up in the next coming years.
Yeah, what I was really excited to see was that there were a lot more medals won in the, you know, snatch, the clean and jerk. We had a few people, was it three people picked up a bronze?
I believe so, yeah.
So, I mean, that's much better than average. You know, that's a good sign. I think that with the heightened emphasis on drug testing, we're starting to see that the Americans are going to be a little bit more competitive and placing better and better, especially as guys like Harrison and CJ kind of start, you know, getting into their 20s.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because a couple people, like Jacin Lopez, he got popped by WADA before the competition even started. And then there was a few others as well. But to see some of the numbers drop from what they were before for a lot of these countries, like Liu Xiaojun and some of these other athletes that were from China, the numbers that they had posted before this Worlds were a lot higher than the ones they competed with for this one.
Yeah, there was a few instances, I think it was in the 64 kilo women, where the, you know, world record standards had been put out, and so people were regularly breaking those. But to see that, oh, they set it, the new record for that weight class, but it's also 25 kilos under their PR from 3.5 years ago, it's crazy to see that, you know, the how strict WADA and how well the anti-doping program works really kind of dictates results and kind of shows that, yeah, we might have needed that reset in weight classes.
Yeah.
As disappointing as it is, you know, to see those records go away. But
well, I don't know if it's disappointing. It's more like we didn't reshuffle the deck. We cleared it completely and then set up a new thing, because like people were, it's almost like if people were starting to count cards and they knew that what the result's going to be, which country was going to win. And I thought that overall the weight class change was a good idea, and it's starting to show, it's starting to reflect that on the world stage.
Yeah. And I mean, I think this was the first Worlds that's going to count for Olympic points, and we had some good finishes, and this counts as one of the six international competitions these world level athletes will have to do before 2020, which is just an insane amount of international competition. So we're gonna have a lot of good stuff to watch. I think my personal favorite session that I watched was the 81 kilo men, and what really surprised me about that was seeing the snatch battle between Liu Xiaojun and Mohamed Yeheb.
Yeah,
that was absolutely phenomenal. If you guys haven't watched it yet, there's about to be spoilers. So it's just amazing to see. I've been a fan of Mohamed Yeheb for a while. He's always posting crazy videos of him trying to lift 11 barbells at once or hooking weights to his ears and doing overhead squats. And it just seems like he has such a great time training.
Yeah.
And when I was first getting into, you know, watching professional weightlifting, I remember him as a 69 when he was competing, and he had moved up to 77, and then now at 81, it's crazy the physical transformation. He is just like ballooned out, and seeing him come up and take the snatch gold from Liu Xiaojun, who historically is just untouchable in the snatch. I'm not sure how far back you'd have to go to see a competition that he didn't win the snatch.
Right.
But it's gotta be ages and ages, years and years, and seeing Youssef kind of come in and
a younger lifter, really.
Yeah, it was outstanding. Yeah, so that 173 was just a great lift.
It was by 1 kilo. Like,
yeah.
Because Liu Zhaojun, he got 172, and Muhammad Ihab, he got edged him out by 1 kilo.
Well, and I mean, if you think about it from, you know, a coaching strategy, that was the right call for Liu Zhaojun, because that gave him more a world record. And, I mean, Ihab had never snatched anywhere near that in competition before. So it's a pretty safe bet, you know, to be like, huh, well, he probably won't make it.
Right.
But he did. It was amazing. So that was probably my favorite session that I've watched so far.
Yeah, and he Liu Zhaojun only beat him by 2 kilos in the clean and jerk as well. So, like, the difference between their totals was, it was 374 and 373. So Liu Zhaojun edged him out by 1 kilo in the total. And then he basically had to give up the gold for the snatch to Muhammad Yusuf. So that, it was a great session. I really enjoyed watching that one.
Yeah, I think that's going to be one to watch going forward. Just because it was neat.
Yeah.
On the men's side, another one was the 96 kilo men featuring a gigantic Tian Tao.
Yeah.
You know, he's not up near Sarab Marathi yet, but he's the younger athlete. And Tian Tao was competing at 96, weighing, I think, 93.
Yeah, I think his body weight for this one was 94.
Yeah.
94.
Which, if you think about the fact that he was competing at 85...
Wow.
Like a year ago?
Yeah, that's a lot of weight to put on.
By the time he really fills out that weight class and, you know, puts it all together, I think the battles between those two are going to be pretty prolific here in the future.
I liked the 89, and there was a guy, Toshiki Yamamoto, that ended up snatching in, like, those flyweight Metcons.
That was very, very strange. Toshiki Yamamoto from Japan is, well, I mean, arguably one of the best squatters I've ever seen. Some of the stuff he can do, you know, 200 kilo plus sets of 10, just is an absolute monster. And can you think, why would he snatch not in weightlifting shoes? Because he clean and jerked in his weightlifting
shoes.
Right,
yeah.
So what leads someone to decide to wear tennis shoes in the snatch? What do you if you had to speculate what the reasoning was there, what do you think he's doing?
Well, I think if for any reason, cuz I've seen people switch shoes between lifts before, and in some instances people will use flatter shoes for the snatch and then the higher elevated heel for the clean and jerk to get that more upright position. So if Toshiki was already able to maintain a good position in the snatch without that elevated heel, then, you know, why not give it a try?
I mean, I guess having a lower heel would somewhat shift some of the load from the quads to the glutes and the lower back. Mm-hmm. So if that's just a position, I mean, I could see that maybe it's a position he's strong in, but I know that within our gym, so doubtfully, like undoubtedly, in gyms across the country, there are people say, well, what if he can snatch in his Metcons, why do I have to wear these weightlifting shoes? So I think he's started a lot of arguments.
Yeah, well, so the thing is he got it done. I mean, he put up, for his snatch, he did 163 kilos in Metcons.
Really weird.
Yeah, it's very strange. And the reason people wear weightlifting shoes, and we've talked about this before, is because, like, force production transfer, the hard heel helps you push against the floor harder, you lose less energy. So that soft heel kind of potentially robs you of, you know, more force production. And maybe the heel for him was hard enough to where it didn't really make a difference.
Well, and you know the Nike Metcons are designed to, you know, they do have a little bit of heel drop,
yeah,
and they are supposed to be able to, you know, handle doing some weightlifting, but it's just not something you see on a professional level.
No, like, not really
at all. A local competition, if somebody that does CrossFit shows up, maybe they'll lift in their flat shoes. I have our lifters, especially Tyler, for periods of time after big competitions, try to train with their flat shoes for a while. But I just don't think I've ever seen it at an international level. It's very weird.
It was very weird. And it did cause a lot of discussions for sure. I mean, we're discussing it right now just because it's so odd. I don't know. It's a personal choice, I guess, and it worked out for him. So
yeah,
it didn't affect his performance. He still put up really good numbers, and his lifts look really good.
Yeah, I'm not sure how close that total was to his previous international best, but I think it was right up there.
Yeah, he got 362 at this Worlds, and I'm not sure exactly what he's hit before either. So,
but he's amazing to watch. Give him a follow. He's really good. On the women's side, the 55s were excellent. Jordan De La Cruz did a really good performance in, I think, the B session. And the A session for that weight category was outstanding. The woman from Thailand that took that one,
yeah,
it was exciting. It was fast-paced. And what was her total at the end?
Her total was 232.
Which is... at 55 is just amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's it's more than double body weight in both her snatch and clean and jerk. Well, close on her snatch, but for sure on her clean and jerk. She hit 105 and 127, so almost a double body weight snatch, and for sure a double body weight, you know, plus clean.
Which, and I mean, she was crisp and looked really good. It was cool seeing I guess I'm just kind of used to expecting North Korea or China to win all of those categories. And it was really cool to see somebody like the Thai lifters looked amazing this year. They were doing really well in all their sessions.
They did well last year, too. I remember watching Worlds, or was it maybe Pan Ams this past year?
Thailand wouldn't have been at Pan Americans, but
the Asian
games, they did really well.
But I think Worlds last year too, like, they were doing fantastic.
So I think that's kind of an up and coming, like, they're gonna be challenging everybody in those categories for sure. The other favorite on the women's side was certainly the 81s. Getting to see Jenny Arthur come in and get a medal in the snatch.
That was impressive. And Maddie Rogers ended up getting a medal in the 71s as well for snatch,
which is awesome.
Clean and jerk.
And the 71s was a really competitive class.
Yeah, that was a good one too.
What was interesting about the 81s was that most of those women were just heavy 76s, because 81 was kind of free for the taking, so they all have kind of moved up a little bit, and a lot of their body weights, if you look at the start list, they're like all under 78 kilos.
Oh, yeah.
Almost all of them.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of 77s, 76s. There's a few 80s, but yeah, they weren't that close to the filling out the weight class, like, across the board.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool to see. But as always, a favorite forever and ever is, you know, Lydia Valentin.
She
just is so good at this sport and is so just a good person. Like, everyone looks up to her just because she's always having fun with it. Her technique is phenomenal. The Hello Kitty stuff is hilarious. It was a really good performance.
Yeah, and she's like one of the first, I think, to kind of try to appear more feminine while she's lifting, like wearing makeup and putting her hair in a nice ponytail.
Yeah, she's always wearing pearl earrings.
And... pearl earrings while she's lifting, and she maintains that femininity even though she's in a strength sport. So I'm always impressed with her, aside from obviously her technique and strength. So,
Yeah, I think it's just good to remind people that, you know, it's you're not going to be trans, like, if you're a feminine person, you can be feminine and lift weights. You can do both of those things. It's not either or. And it's cool to see, it's kind of an ambassador for getting people that are scared interested in the sport, you know. You can see, you know, these women doing it at this level, and it's, you know, just it's what they do. They're, you know, it's not any different than anyone else.
Exactly. You know? I hate that idea that, like, weightlifting makes women bulky, or lifting in general makes women bulky. I just don't buy that at all.
Well, and it's, and I mean, another, it's being, having muscle mass doesn't exclude you from being a woman. You can be a woman that is kind of, you know, muscled, and that's fine. It's perfectly okay. And I don't know, our society just kind of, what is presented as the standard, as either a rail thin fashion model or a plastic surgeon Kardashian, is just not representative of the spectrum of, I mean, people have, your body's your body, and you're gonna, what can you do with it? That's cool.
I think there's a shift that's happening where it's kind of just like, be okay with whatever you're okay with, you know, just be yourself and be happy with yourself. Like, no matter what, if you want to be, you know, strong and ripped, do that. If you want to be slim and slender, then do that. Like, you don't have to fit into a box.
Yeah, I feel like people put a lot of pressure on themselves, trying to, I mean, I feel like, how many guys did you know in the Army that were obsessed with trying to look like Brad Pitt in Fight Club?
Yeah.
You know, right? Like, we have these celebrities and, you know, media, kind of how we were talking in the past about, why is it that we feel the need to buy these things? Well, why do you feel the need to look this way? Is it because that's what's, and it's just, that's what's being sold. That's what the media is selling us. And yeah, I mean, it makes watching movies interesting, because everybody, it's like, oh, this is just reality, but times 11, and Mark Wahlberg's arms are the size of my face, and you know, but
it was more like Tom Cruise for us because of Top Gun, Air Force.
So. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. But, oh man, Iceman.
Dangerous. Iceman. Goose.
But, you know, I think that having real world examples of people doing something they love with, you know, whatever it takes to be that way. A great example is Tatiana Kasharina's performance. We haven't seen her in a couple of years. And she clean and jerked 185 as a super. And that's amazing. Like, I think, you know, I love the super heavyweight categories. I think it's really cool to see just the most possible weight being lifted. I really like that. And it was really cool to see that, yeah, Russia's had these kind of drug incidences, and I know Tatiana's failed in the past, but her total was not a significant drop-off from her prior world records.
Right.
It was very, very close.
Yeah, it was a 330 total.
I think her best clean and jerk was 190 or 192, so she's within 5 kilos after having some time off, and the fact of the matter is she didn't need to do more in those lifts. But it was really great to see Sarah Robles broke some Pan American records and the national record in the total.
Yeah,
she had an awesome day. And yeah, I think that, you know, too often people kind of, especially when your job is to, you know, sell weightlifting, people get kind of scared of showing off super heavyweights, because a lot of times people are like, well, that's not really what I want to do.
Yeah.
But just knowing, it's like, well, that's not, they're able to lift that much weight because they are like that. Lifting weights didn't like make give them their body type. Yeah. You know, that's a genetic and, you know, environmental thing. So I think, it's weird body image stuff. I think women definitely have it way, 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 way worse than men do. But I think that especially within, you know, the CrossFit, weightlifting, fitness community, muscle dysmorphia exists on both sides.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Women worry about being too big or too lean and, you know, get in their heads about how they're going to look. And I feel like men might mask it better, but these guys are just as insecure. And every guy flexing in the mirror taking a selfie is just masking his insecurity about how uncomfortable he is with himself, I think.
Well, I kind of struggle with that sometimes because, you know, I'm not a tall guy. I'm a little bit under 5'8". I just round up to 5'8". And I've never been really big, and I've always wanted to be. Like, I've always wanted to be strong and big, and it's just something that I've struggled to achieve. And I've been working on gaining weight, trying to get stronger, and I was on really good track to do that, and then I kind of got sick, and it just kind of got, you know, went down the crapper. But it is something that I struggle with, and everybody's like, oh, Mundo's got abs, and it's like, oh, you're so ripped. But I would trade that for more strength. Like, for me, that image of like being lean and cut is something I struggle with, because it's, you know, it's not really where I want to be. I'd like I said, I'd sacrifice a six pack for, you know, 6 more kilos on my snatch, and maybe, you know, 10 more on my clean and jerk. But that's something that I've always kind of been like, I've always wanted to be bigger, and it's never good enough. Like, I always feel like I'm small and scrawny.
Well, and that's what's so weird is, you know, we've talked about, you know, pros of improving your confidence and lifting, and you can kind of change and tweak your body to be able to do things and look ways that you haven't before. And I think all of those points are very good, that those can be good and motivating things. But there's another edge to that where I'm the same way. I mean, I've been, you know, aggressively gaining weight since I was an 18-year-old. And it's funny because when you're the biggest you've ever been, you still kind of feel like you're small. Yeah. And it doesn't make any sense. So how do you think, and that's why I think the most important thing for measuring progress is focusing on performance outcomes rather than physical.
Yeah.
I feel like so many people say, you know, I want to, you know, lose some of the, you know, loose chub on the stomach,
stubborn
or
belly fat.
Just, you know, lean out a little bit. Or I want to gain, you know, this much weight. Or, well, it's not even gain this much weight. It's I just want to be big. It's that kind of amorphous goal where it's I want to be leaner, I want to be big, but it's not quantified.
Right.
And if you're not quantifying it, then it's easy to never meet it, because wherever you're at, you feel like, oh, I could probably improve. So I think it's really important to, you know, it's okay to set physique goals, but it's more important to set performance ones. Because so often, if you say you want to have bigger legs, set a performance goal for that. Say, I want to be able to squat 150 kilos for 10 reps. And then maybe you work for 2 or 3 months and you accomplish that goal. Then that will probably have made your legs bigger on its own.
Right.
So I think that, you know, oftentimes the performance goals are, they end up accomplishing the other things that you want, and you feel better because you're not, over the course of that time period, just kind of really critiquing yourself. You got to let stuff happen slowly.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, body transformation on Instagram, it looks like two pictures right next to each other, but that stuff takes time, and it takes being consistent, and especially if you want, you know, a lasting change. Because lots of people can lose weight for the duration of a diet, but the rebound afterward, you know, if you're too aggressive with it, it's going to be hard to maintain. And I think it's better to kind of have these more performance-based goals and work slowly and sustainably. But it's definitely hard psychologically to you know, deal with having, you know, this is like, why am I, like, still insecure about how I look?
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I'm finally bigger, but now I feel kind of chubby. Yeah. And it's like, but yeah, but like 3 months ago, you were like, I don't care about that. I just want to be bigger.
Right.
So you're having these, like, weird internal shouting matches. And I think everyone goes through it. But I feel like what women have to deal with that men don't is, I feel like for the most part, guys are putting it on themselves.
Yeah.
They're saying like, oh, I want to be this. I want to look like Thor from that movie.
Right.
Because I know that's kind of where I was when I was 19 or whatever. I was just, oh, I want to do that. But we don't have to deal with other people saying, oh, are you sure you want to be doing this? You don't want to get too big.
Yeah.
We don't have to deal with the patronizing, you know, subtle judgments that I feel like a lot of women have to put up with, especially not, those that lift weights.
Yeah, and they're not even that subtle sometimes.
No, it's just blunt.
I have a friend that, you know, she's a professional, like, in the media business. And people will send her, you know, nasty comments all the time about her, you know, her physical appearance and the things she wears. Like, oh, you look like pretty jacked, but not in a nice way. It's like, you know, they're
just like, oh, you're too buff.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think that part of it is people have this perception when it comes to athletes, what they should look like. And if you tell people you're an athlete and you're a super and you're a weightlifter, they kind of look at you like, you're an athlete? Like, they have that question mark.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so I think that when people associate a specific body type with somebody that's an athlete, that's like a generalization. You know, like, you're categorizing every single person that competes in a sport, no matter what that sport is, into a specific body type. And that makes it hard for women. And I remember when I first joined the Air Force when I was 18, and I weighed 118 pounds. Yeah, I was tiny.
Tiny.
But it took 14 years for me to put 36 pounds on and reach 70 kilos. And that, yeah, 14-year period. Like, I didn't fill out my body. And even then, like, I feel like I'm not completely filled out. I'm still trying to fill out the 73 weight class. And it's going to be hard. It's continually this process of, you know, trying to put that weight on. And it's a lot of work. And, yeah, it's kind of one of those things. For me, I put that pressure on myself. Like, oh, I need to be bigger or I need to be stronger. But, yeah, for women, it's definitely kind of this unfair standard of, oh, you're an athlete, you should look like this.
Yeah, or even it's just, you know, if you're recreationally lifting, like, oh, well, it's good to lift weights, they're good for your bones, be careful, you don't want to, you know, look too manly. And I think if we're going to, you know, break out of some of that kind of terrible double standard,
yeah.
I think for our male listeners out there, when you're having a conversation with somebody and you're, you know, talking about whatever performance it is, if somebody says something like, oh, I don't like her, she looks too manly, or her shoulders are too big, or, you know, it's like, oh, I think that's gross, call that person out.
Yeah,
be like, hey, you're being a dick, you need to stop. Like, that, just don't stand for it, because the only way we can effectively do that is because everyone knows it's uncomfortable when you're, you know, discussing a CrossFit Games performance or a weightlifting thing, and there's just one guy talking about which chick is the hottest.
Yeah.
It makes everyone uncomfortable, and say something about it, because otherwise they're going to think it's all right.
Yeah. somebody told me silence implies consent or acceptance of that idea.
Yeah. So,
like, if you're silent about something, that means you're going along with it or you're in agreement.
And that doesn't mean you need to start a fight with somebody, yeah, yeah. But just be like, hey man, that's kind of rude. She worked really hard, and she's not trying to be attractive for you, because yeah. That's not the point of what we're doing here. So shut up.
Right. Well, keep that opinion to yourself.
Yeah, I think, so feel free to, you know, if people are being inconsiderate and rude, just put them down.
Yeah. And I think as you get older, you have less tolerance for it, and you're willing to say whatever, you know. I think when you're younger, you kind of want to keep the peace and save, you know, save face. But as you get older, you're like, no, I'm not going to tolerate that. Like, don't do that. That's not acceptable. But all right. So
That's Worlds Recap.
Yeah.
So I've been starting a new self experiment. I like to do a lot of kind of weird stuff. And I think this one might be a little bit too much. So we'll see. I'll keep you guys updated every week. But I've been getting really into following some of Wim Hof's, the Iceman, who, if you guys haven't checked out any of his interviews, he's done the rounds on tons of podcasts. It's Wimhof. He's a very strange Dutchman who has the world record for longest ice bath. He was submerged for an hour and 45 minutes or so. He's run a marathon barefoot above the Arctic Circle. He hiked Everest in a pair of shorts with no shirt on and no oxygen. So he's done a lot of crazy stuff, but his practice is a lot of breathing techniques, which we've talked about in our meditation episodes where we, you know, focusing on the breath. And his breathing techniques, essentially, like, the amount of improvement you can get on breath holding is crazy. So you do these hyperventilatory breaths, and you take about 30 very deep, very aggressive exhale breaths, and you empty your lungs entirely and you hold. And the first time that I did this, I maybe held my breath for 30 seconds, 35 seconds, you know, which is, you know, it was hard.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at holding my breath. I haven't practiced. And now, by the third, so you do these like three times in a row, and while you're breathing and while you're holding, you just feel this crazy oxygen high,
like
I guess.
A like tingling
sensation. Yeah, like your lips go numb and your hands start burning. And don't drive while you're doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Or do anything dangerous. But you're just sitting there focusing on the breath. And suddenly you're tingling and you're like flying. And now I've gotten to a minute and 45 seconds for an empty lung breath retention.
Wow, yeah, that's a minute 15 improvement.
Yeah, and it's just been like a couple of weeks. So that's been really interesting. And his idea is that, you know, doing these breathing techniques, you can control your adrenals and your autonomic system to raise your body temperature and kind of basically withstand cold more easily. So keeping up with the cold showers that we've talked about plenty of times,
yeah.
The other night it was a bit rainy here and it was about 40 degrees. So I decided to, you know, go out and I stripped down and went into my backyard and just stood in the rain for 10 minutes trying not to shiver. And I was moderately successful at that. So I'm just going to spend the whole winter going outside and laying down in the grass when it's super cold a few times a week, see if I can fit some ice baths into the routine, and just see if, you know, this breath control stuff can possibly lead to some performance benefits. Because if you can control your breathing and you can learn to regulate your heartbeat and control what your resting tone is, then I think theoretically, so the problem that causes, what causes muscular failure when you're lifting is the muscle basically builds up with, fills up with hydrogen ions and lactate. And so that means that it's getting acidic within the cell. And those hydrogen ions block the myofibers within the muscle from being able to bind. So it blocks ATP's ability to kind of give energy to the muscle cell. So doing these breathing techniques is supposed to reduce acidity. So if you can learn to control your breath and change the pH and blow off some of that stuff, you should theoretically, if I'm thinking about it correctly, be able to recover faster between bouts.
Right.
So if you can control your heart rate and your breathing and change the pH in your body to be more favorable to performance, can you do that between your first and second attempt snatch? Can you learn to control that within a competition? Can you learn to shut out anxiety and nervousness by doing these centering breaths, positively affecting your physiology and affecting your performance? So that's kind of what I'm interested in. I want to see if there's something to that. And if that means being a crazy guy standing in the snow at 10 o'clock at night, we'll give it a go.
Yeah.
So that's coinciding with, I'm going to not wear a jacket this winter.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. I've regretted it once so far. It was pretty cold Friday night. But I'm managing, you know, you're doing these deep breathing and it's kind of cool in that you're trying to not shiver when it's cold, which teaches your body to, if you're not going to shiver, you have to generate heat some other way.
Right.
So theoretically, what it's supposed to be doing is your mitochondria will step up to just produce more body heat, which will raise your metabolism. So there's could it help you lean out? Is it better for inflammation if you're exposed to the cold more often?
I think it is. If you know, and we've talked about this before about doing like cryotherapy and things like that. I benefited from it. I always felt less achy and sore after workouts, or better going into the next workout. And I still take cold showers, not every day, but I will take them, especially like after a hard workout, I'll do a cold shower. But yeah, I think when I first heard that you were going to try to go as long as you could without wearing a jacket, I was like, all right, well, that's we'll see how that works out for you. But, I'm interested in how far you can get along with it too.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be kind of interesting. And I mean, obviously if I have to be outside for hours, yeah, I'll put a long sleeve shirt on or sweater or something. Yeah, but yeah, you know, not wearing, you know, a heavy coat or not wearing any coat at all until it's significantly, you know, freezing or below.
Right.
I think it'll be a fun challenge. I think a lot of what I like about doing different diet strategies or moving up or down a weight class or doing, really any of these like kind of challenges, be it weightlifting or just kind of meditation or anything, is it's just, you know, it's okay to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of like forcing myself to be a little bit uncomfortable, I think, I think it's kind of grounding in a way, where it's, you know, if you're not pursuing comfort, it's, you know, the cold, what Wim Hof talks about is, you know, like the cold brings you there. Like you can't not be in the moment if you're cold.
That's true.
You are absolutely there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to think about a lot of other stuff while you're cold. It really is.
So that's going to be interesting. So I've been doing that for a couple weeks. We're in the middle of November, so we'll see, we'll see how long I last with all that stuff.
So we're going to Milwaukee. Are you planning to not do that there as well?
I'm going to try, man. I'm going to try.
Okay.
What we'll have to do is in between sessions, we'll find a snowbank and we'll bring our swim trunks out.
Okay.
And we'll go do some snow baths outside in front of the hotel.
Yeah.
And then we'll get a reputation for being real weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we're not already, then hopefully
it'll get
advanced.
She's like, oh, hey, were you guys taking a snow bath? Like, yeah. Yeah, leave me alone.
I don't want to talk about that right now. All right. Well, that's I just wanted to catch up a little bit. I know we missed last week, and we'll have more for you guys in the future. We're going to try to get some guests on, and let's see if we can get some more interesting conversations going about both weightlifting and some philosophy stuff with people that are outside of their comfort zone and talking about, you know, some of the philosophies that we've been kind of going over.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's going to be a lot of fun trying to get some different perspectives on the show. As always, guys, feel free, rate, review. That really helps us find more listeners. If you guys like what we're doing or have an idea of what you want us to talk about, send us an email at asaweightlifting@gmail.com. Any suggestion for topics, something you want to hear us cover, or something you want us to do, you know, feel free to send constructive criticism.
Yeah, and you can reach us through DM on Instagram at Albuquerque Strength Academy. And we're going to work on getting more platforms for the podcast, so maybe like Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and
Spotify.
Yeah, so you'll have more avenues of listening to it. If you don't, iTunes works great, and you can always go to the website. It's hosted there.
All right, guys. Well, have a wonderful week. We're going to do some more lifting. Have good training and do something uncomfortable.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Happy lifting.